welcome everyone to today's podcast. I have an amazing person to bring to the table today. Now, she is such a talent. When she decided she wanted to join my program, she desperately wanted to do the program, even though she had already done quite a lot of study herself. You know, she had, I don't know, five or so properties and was well under the way. She desperately wanted to do my program. And her husband goes, no, you know, you've done a lot already. And she convinced him that if she could make back the cost of the course in the 30 days, which I always give a 30-day no questions asked money back guarantee, then her husband would let her do the course. Well, she's still here, so it must have worked. Let's introduce her. Hey, Jane, how are you?
Well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Let's talk a little bit about you. Let's talk about your situation, because you're a stay-at-home mum with a couple of kids.
That's correct, yes. I've got a 4- and a 6-year-old.
You know, I think that real estate is one of the absolute best career paths for women who want to stay at home and look after their kids, because it's something you can do absolutely, you know, anytime, in around sleeps and whatever else, at night, and, you know, drag the kids around to look at this and look at that like I'd had to. How do you feel doing all of that with kids?
Oh, I absolutely love it. Now that I'm doing it the right way, I absolutely love it. I was trying to do it different ways and it wasn't working, but obviously with your course it's completely different. But, no, the kids are definitely getting used to it, and they always talk about houses and, you know, they're always asking me what I'm doing, and my 6-year-old wants to be a builder, so I am encouraging that.
Girl or a boy?
A boy.
Yeah, buy him some hammers and nails for birthdays.
That's it. No, my little girl always talks about decorating houses, and I'm like, oh, fantastic, this is going to work really well.
Well, I tell you, fast forward a few years, my oldest two that I drug around all over the place, they're both into real estate. I mean, my eldest is now 22 and the next one's 21. The second one, the girl, she actually went and did property economics and developing at university. So I've definitely got them in the business. It's really good.
Fantastic. Good to know it rubs off, so that's great.
It does. I tell you what, the best thing you can do for your kids is to lead by example, and you're definitely doing that.
I try. Thank you.
So let's go back to when you were sitting in the audience. I think it was Brad was actually doing a little bit of a presentation, an evening presentation, and you decided that you did want to join up. What was going through your head back then?
Yeah, so we were in a really negative position. We were in about negative $67,000 actually. So
that's a lot.
It is an enormous amount. So we were looking for something. We weren't quite sure. Like you said, mentioned before, I'd done a lot of courses. We had paid a lot of so-called experts for financial advice. And we'd in December, we'd actually asked, we'd paid for a wealth plan. And it just came back that we basically needed to sell anything that we had that was positively geared and to buy more negatively geared properties.
Good Lord. At $67,000 negative already.
Oh, it was just ridiculous. My husband and I came home and we went, you know what, they don't get us. They don't get that we don't feel like we have a lifestyle. So, yeah, I found out about your course. I don't remember how. I think it was in a local advertisement and a girlfriend. I asked if she wanted to come. My husband's not really interested in property.
What does hubby do?
He's a maintenance planner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he's very, very supportive, but he, I think he's more interested now everything's making money, but back then to him it was all a bit too hard.
It's funny how they come around, isn't it?
Show them the dollar and they come around pretty quick. So, yeah, I was blown away. Brad just spoke about his negative portfolio and how he managed to turn it around with all of your different strategies, and I just knew I had to sign up. So I signed up and I went home and I didn't say anything for 2 days.
Guess what I've done, honey?
That's it. But he's very, very supportive. I knew he hadn't been there to see it. So I knew that he's obviously going to be cynical. Mm-hmm. And that's when he said, no, look, I don't have a problem with it. They've got a 30-day money back guarantee. So I'm pretty sure you could make that money back if, you know, if it works. And I was like, okay, challenge accepted.
Well, that's a great attitude. Now, I mean, you said, you know, in the first 30 days, your challenge was to make make all your money back. And you actually went for one of the higher level programs as well. So tell me, you know, how did you go with that? Did you make it happen?
Yeah. I actually got my money back threefold.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't, you know, massive deals, or I didn't, you know, just work my, I did work my tail off for that first 30 days, but it was doing everything that you said, you know, really going through the program and really, you know, looking at where we're at and where things weren't where they should be, kind of thing. So it was back threefold. It was great.
That's fantastic. So I guess he let you stay in the program then.
Yeah, he didn't have a problem with it after that.
Now, you know, hubby's obviously working pretty hard. You got the kids at home. You're working pretty hard with them. And you're $67,000 negative. Now, that's a tall order in itself, because I know what it feels like to have negative cash flow. And you know, if you ever want to give up work, or you want to stay at home with those kids rather than go back to work, or you know, have a different lifestyle, negative cash flow is never going to do that for you. You must have had some what I call rot in your portfolio. What was the first move that you made?
So we went through everything, and we basically took on your advice. So the first thing was that we did have a PPR that we were actually renting out. We'd moved to another state to take a job with free rent. Things were pretty hard with that much negative gearing. Mm. So we took some advice on that one, and we looked at everything, and we worked out that we could save $20,000 straight up with tax saving with your advice. And we also knew that just a very, very quick reno and a flip, we asked all the real estate agents in the area what they were after. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was the main one. Once we got rid of that, it really, yeah, could turn everything else around, really.
Now, that had a little bit of equity in it too. So that gave you a base to start from, to be able to, you know, to go on and start looking at income replacement and getting investments that are really working for you.
Definitely. It did have some equity. It was very, very heavily negatively geared, though. You know, it was a classic, you know, nice suburb, but big, horrible house that you couldn't do anything with, really.
Yeah. And a lot of you, you know, when you look at your portfolio, quite often your first deal that you go and do is already in your portfolio. You know, you don't have to go and buy a deal to go and do. Quite often you're sitting on a deal if you've got an existing portfolio, which I guess was the case for you as well, because you had to go through each one of your properties and go, okay, what's the maximum capacity I can have of this property? Should I keep it? Should I sell it? What's it really doing for me? All of those opportunity cost analysis questions that come up. So what did you end up doing? How many properties did you have when you started with me?
Yeah, so we had five when we started with you, and we couldn't actually move forward. We couldn't do anything with any of them. We did have equity, but obviously we had no serviceability with negative $67,000. So we were kind of stuck. We knew that we had to, yeah, move things around, change things around. So, yeah, we took it from that with, do you want me to talk about the different different properties that we've done?
Well, I mean, I've actually got a bit of a slide here on what you've done, and I think you were able to maximize one of your Brisbane properties from memory with a manufactured growth strategy, which included subdivisions and construction, didn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. So once we started your course, we actually worked out that two of the properties were subdividable, mm-hmm. but obviously we didn't have the cash flow until we got rid of the PPR to actually be able to start that. Mm. So one in Brisbane was actually one of those beautiful widow splitter blocks that you talk about I didn't know much about that was split on the diagonal. So it was pretty simple following all of your advice on how to do a boundary realignment and make way for two 4x2s with two car ports underneath as well. So they're going to be completed, or they're actually very, very close to be completing, but I don't think they're going to make the builder's Christmas cutoff.
What sort of money do you expect to make out of those?
We're looking at least $140,000dollars profit with those, with both. So at this stage, we're actually looking at selling one and keeping one because it'll be cash flow positive by at least $12,000, and we're looking at our options there at possibly increasing that as well.
What does your advisor and accountant say when you start accumulating positive cash flow properties and having to pay tax?
Well, we changed accountants with your advice too, so this one's really great. You know, this one understands and, you know, knows that it's a good thing to be paying some tax. The old one, we definitely outgrew our accountant. You know, we were paying for advice and it had got us in this situation and, you know, we didn't make any decisions by ourselves. We're always paying for this wonderful advice and it just, we weren't on the right, you know, same path as them. They weren't investors either, so I think it makes a difference.
It's really sad that that's the case. But, you know, obviously coming, I'm an accountant, I'm an economist, but you come from that formal training and that's all you're taught. You know, all you're taught is negative gearing. And if you ever want a lifestyle or a better life or anything, negative gearing is just not going to get you there. It traps you in your job, which a lot of people listening to the podcast would be feeling. Because it's real, it hurts, you know, when you've got to fork out money before you can even afford to eat or drive the car or anything else. It traps you in that job, and even though you pay tax with passive income, that's actually what you want, because you're going to pay tax if you go and work for, you know, 40 hours a week as well, so...
Oh, that's exactly right. It's so stressful. And, you know, their belief is that you can wait for capital growth and it just wasn't coming fast enough for us. And it wasn't coming at all with some of the properties that we'd bought. So, yeah, it just wasn't enough. We had to change.
And manufactured growth, you know, is the other side of the equation. And I know, you know, the industry simply doesn't have any training in properties. And, you know, to be able to make your profit out of your deals rather than sitting back there and just waiting for something to happen. Because the trouble with waiting is, of course, you know, everybody else's property goes up at the same rate as yours, so you really haven't got ahead. I mean, you're ahead of somebody that's done nothing, but you're not ahead of anybody that's got any other property in that area. To get ahead, you've got to do something to create that equity. And I think that's a big learning curve for a lot of people. And it's fabulous that you've been able to, you know, put that into action so quickly. You also have dealt with your superannuation. You know, you've used your superannuation funds to actually get out there and buy properties as well, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. So while our, you know, personal portfolio is getting fixed up and I'm fixing all our mistakes, it has taken over 10 years to make all those mistakes. So it wasn't happening as quickly as I wanted to. So, yeah, we looked at setting up self-managed super fund through your advisors. And, you know, it was something that I kept putting off. I knew I wanted to do it, but I just thought it was all a bit too hard. And I kept saying, you know, when both the kids are at school, you know, I just can't handle all this paperwork. But it is the best thing that I've done, because then, you know, we've also been able to use all of our knowledge from your course to obviously buy, you know, create positive portfolio in our super. And I just, yeah, it's ticking along so nicely.
So one of the deals that I've got here, you've in 18 months, it produced a $23,000 passive income per year. So you turned it into a positive cash flow, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. So that was a, beautiful little commercial property, rural commercial property. And to be honest, we never would have looked at commercial before your course, ever, in a million years. But with all of your advice on the different things to look for and all of the due diligence, we started researching different areas, and we were originally from WA, so we sort of, you know, we knew this little niche market that was going on that we were kind of interested in, and we did lots of research, and it was a great little purchase, actually, and it had been sitting on the market for over 2 years, but people were scared of it because they'd start their due diligence, and some of the paperwork was a little bit scary, but with your lawyers and everything, we got different people to look at it, and we were confident with making our decision with buying that one. So
fantastic. Now, you said that having your own self-managed superannuation fund, for a lot of people, investing their superannuation monies might actually be the first investment that they actually do. How are you finding the paperwork now? Are you, you know, with the asset registers and things like that, are you keeping it all in order?
I am. I'm learning. I'm really glad I've got your advisors that can keep me on track, because it is, I mean, yeah, to do it by yourself, I just think it would be too overwhelming for me, but I've constantly got that support there. I'm always able to flick off an email and they're always reminding me exactly what I need to do, when I need to do it, you know, sending little reminders my way of, you know, can you flick this through for us? And yeah, I don't find it overwhelming at all. When I, like I said, I do work in the pockets of my time, so I love it.
Now, Jay, did you go to the commercial event that we did a few months back?
No, I didn't make that one.
You better get on and listen to the recording, because I can tell you now that was a fantastic commercial event, and it'll really help you with the, you know, for future commercial events as well. Plus, possibly even with what you've already bought. So,
oh, okay,
I'll it's online. It's online. All you got to do is pop on and listen to it when you've got some time.
Yep, sounds great.
And then you went and bought another one in Super.
Yeah, we did. So we were really looking at sort of complementing our portfolio out of Super and within Super. And so we were looking at things that we didn't have. And through your course, we were really intrigued about, you know, the high-res stuff. You know, we were looking at student accommodation, what sorts of things we could do. We could have multiple streams of income coming in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we found a 4x4, which is near Griffith University in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we just had to rejig that one a little bit as well. It was just – it was very, very simple. It was actually a lady that was quite unwell, and she was trying to sell it and it wasn't presented well, and one room was actually being used as a storeroom, so it was unable to be rented out. So people just couldn't see the potential. And really all it was just – yeah, cleaning it up and flying down to Brisbane for the day and hiring a truck and cleaning it all out and tidying it up and putting some new furniture and appliances in. And, yeah, that one's also positive, up to about 19,000 at the moment.
In your super fund?
Sorry, in the super fund, yeah.
That's correct. That's pretty good. So $23,000 and $19,000 passive income every year coming into your superannuation fund. That's fantastic.
I know. It was very nice to be able to control it too, leaving it up to somebody else to make decisions, because I don't think anyone else is losing sleep over our super.
I don't think so. And the other thing is, of course, with your portfolio outside super, you're slowly building the passive income outside super as well, and that then gives you the choices to be able to, you know, to do whatever you want to go and do.
That's right, yeah. We're fixing all that up and that's ticking along nicely. Not as fast as I'd like sometimes, but you can't rush these things. I want it all done properly as well.
That's right. So what are some of the things that you know, have changed for you since joining the I Love Real Estate community, financially and non-financially?
Yeah, so, well, financially, just talking numbers, our portfolio has actually increased by over 200,000, but our debt has actually decreased by over 400,000. Yeah. So, you know, that's huge just within us. And negative gearing has dropped so it was 67,000. It's now negative 7,700. Within a couple of months, it's going to be positive by about 4,500 with this Brisbane build that's going to be complete.
Fantastic.
Which is very exciting, and we obviously have the next development that's ready to go as well. That's going to, it's actually a triplex site, but I'm trying to fit two houses and two granny flats on there at the moment, so that'll be the next one off the rank.
So but, with that one complete, your estimated income on that outside super would be about 32 grand, is that right?
Yeah, it would be going up to that one, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'll
and
be
42
so
in super.
Sorry?
And 42,000 passive income in super.
Yes, that's correct. So far, I think we'll probably do something else and maybe look at some, other, you know, low money down deals or something to do out of super as well to, keep me busy while I'm waiting for these other things to tick along.
That's fantastic. Now, I've got to really stress here, this isn't, you know, a five-year journey for you. This is only 18 months.
That's correct. And to be honest, it takes a good 5 to 6 months, I think, to get all of the paperwork into order, you know, go through all of your different checklists and things that you get us to do when you're looking at, you know, setting up all of your insurances and your wills and your mortgages and everything to make sure everything's not cross-securitized. And that really takes the first 6 months just to get that organized. So, it's been fantastic. Yeah, 18 months in total, but, 12 months of real action.
It's been a wild ride then in 18 months.
Yes. Oh, we're only just beginning, but I think, you know, when you're really – when it's hurting that much, you kind of are driven. So if you can, if you really want the result, you'll just go out there and do it after you put the kids to bed and get it all sorted.
That's exactly right. And, I mean, you're a shining example of, you know, a mum with kids and all the normal traumas and dramas and whatever else that come along with having children. And, this has become your full-time job. And when you think about it, as a job, 18 months – what did you do before you had kids?
I was actually a teacher.
You're a teacher. So what did you earn as a teacher?
Oh, I'd be lucky. Gross would be $80,000.
$80,000, okay. So 18 months, we'll call it 120, you'd earn normally in the 18 months. And through working in property, you've not only created $60,000 worth of passive income for outside super money and $42,000 inside super money cash flow every year, which you don't have to do anything more ever again. That just comes in regardless. And yep. You've earned, you know, a couple hundred grand in your portfolio, as well as paid off $400,000. That's pretty good compared to working full time for the 18 months on 120 grand a year.
That's it. And it's so much more enjoyable. And I can do it around my kids. And, you know, I've spoken before, different health issues sort of impact my working as well. So whereas this, I can just do it, you know, in the pockets of my life when I'm having, you know, I've got time to do it. And it's easy. I love it too.
Something I want to talk about here is time management, because one of the things about being a full-time property investor, you know, as well as a full-time mum and a full-time everything else that you do, you know, you've got to have good time management, because there's nobody there saying, okay, it's 11 o'clock, you know, go and have your morning tea, or it's, you know, you've got to make those phone calls, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. It's totally you. And, you know, you've got to have some type of framework that, you know, that continues to motivate you and continues to keep things ticking along, as well as everything else that you're doing. How do you handle that?
Oh, I don't know. It seems to work. My husband's a planner, so that's what he does as a job, and I'm very, very similar. So our life is very organized, but it is all about pockets of time, and I honestly don't waste time watching TV or using social media. My husband and I get up quite early to exercise in the morning, so we're up about 4 a.m., so you can normally squeeze in a little bit of work before the kids get up at, you know, 6 o'clock. And, I don't know. We are very, very organized, and I will have lists of things to do, but then I also think my time with the kids is very important. So I, prioritize their time, and they have a rest after lunch, so I know that I can also fit in, you know, some quick emails. But, luckily a lot's on the computer and, you know, phone calls, and everyone I work with, I've basically chosen people that are really good with technology and know how to do everything via Skype and via email. So, it makes it a lot easier, because if I can flick an email back in the middle of the night, they get it in the morning when they get to work anyway.
That's exactly right. So, you know, your husband, he's obviously working in his day job. Mm-hmm. How do you go about, you know, sharing your day and what's happening on this project and that project? Is it something that you discuss, or it gives you free rein and say, no, you just go do it and tell me when it's done?
He's pretty good. He does trust me. I think he's trusted me more with this education behind. He does like a little bit of a weekly update. So it's good that on this Brisbane build, I've got different spreadsheets and things set out of what needs to be completed and in what steps and things like that. So that'll be something that the builder and I talk about on a Friday, and then I'll also flick through the email to my husband with the photos that they've sent me, so that he's kept in the loop a little bit, and every now and then he'll sort of say, you know, what's going on with that one, or, you know, I'll drag him along to different appointments and things. So yeah, he's interested in the finished product, I think, the shiny, you know, bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. But he's very, very supportive. I couldn't do it without him. So
that's fantastic. Because having somebody just to chat to about things is very important as well as maintaining that balance, because, you know, you can go too far the other way where it's all work and all you seem to talk about is real estate and deals and this and that and whatever else, if you're both completely into it. But you've got to have an off switch too. You've got to have some time where, you know, your husband and wife as opposed to business partners.
Very true, yes.
So you seem to have accomplished that nice balance.
I have, probably because he's not fully absorbed in the the business at the moment. But, you know, I really do hope that later on down the track that he would prefer to give up work and join with me. But I'm trying to tempt him across. But we'll have to obviously get everything a lot more positively geared before that can happen.
That's right. And get all your finances in order and all that sort of thing too before he pulls the pin.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so what would you say to people listening to the podcast who are sort of thinking, you know, I don't know whether I could do that, or, paying for education is not something I've ever done before, all of that sort of thing. What would you say to them?
Oh, I think, you know, the right kind of education is just worth it. Oh, it's worth its weight in gold. If I hadn't had this, you know, 10 years ago, which I'm sure you've heard many, many times, it would have meant a completely different outcome for us. And it will still mean a completely different outcome, and I'm glad I found it now. But, you know, the best of the best athletes, you know, they have trainers. They don't think they know it all. And I just think, you know, unless you've got that really amazing support and someone that you can ask for questions and go to when you're doubting yourself, I really don't think you could get the same results without the education behind you. I really don't think you could.
One of the things that I have been very dogmatic, I suppose, in insisting and having as part of the I Love Real Estate community is the community bit, because it's not, it's, you know, the education is obviously one thing and knowing how to do things, but it's the implementation. You've got all the people there to talk to, you know, the lawyers and the accountants and the strategists and all those people that you can go to, and coaches to ask a question if you don't know the answer, or who should I go to talk to about this particular situation, and even the other students, you know, to have that amazing network of positivity of people who are all out there, you know, encouraging and doing the similar types of things. And you can pop a question up on the forum and say, hey, I've never done this before, but how do you do this? And an answer comes back.
Exactly right. And so many people that I've met through the course, I've kept in contact with, and, you know, just different ways of thinking about things. You have a problem and they come up with these solutions that you would never have thought of, and you click it off to, you know, obviously the strategist and everything, and go, oh, you know, what about this? And it's great having, yeah, both types of support there, because, you know, especially when you're learning, you don't want to make mistakes, you want to do everything so it's going to benefit you and benefit you, I guess, the best way that you can organise it all.
And, I mean, I come from regional areas, but you're not living in a big CBD city right now, are you? You're in reasonably regional area where wealth creation and real estate and all of the – and making money and all of those types of things are not really the agenda of the of conversation, are they?
No, probably the complete opposite. A lot of people live pay to pay here, although they do have concerns about super and, you know, tax and things like that. But, it's very different. But then I've always been interested in property, obviously not the right way, and, you know, wealth creation and sorts of things. So you tend to attract, people even in areas like this that are, you know, have similar interests, I guess.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, of course, then being able to have your online mates and your seminar mates and all of that kind of stuff to balance that off must help as well.
Oh, definitely. And motivation, because they'll sort of, you know, give you the kick up the butt you need every now and then. So what's going on with that? Did you ever do it? And you're like, oh, no, okay, I'm doing it. And, you know, and then one of them will say, oh, I've just watched, you know, just listened to this podcast and I've watched this. Have you watched it yet? And you're like, oh, no, okay, I'll get onto it. And, you know, I really saw this and I thought about you with that development. And you think, okay, yep, I'll get onto it. So, no, it is great.
That's what you need. That's what it's all about, that mateship. Mates in the market, that's what it's about.
Yes, very true.
Well, Jay, you are a fabulous role model for so many people out there, and I really do thank you for coming on the podcast with me and sharing your story, especially that initial story of being able to make, what was it, $30,000 in 30 days to prove it to your husband that the education was worth it. I think that's fabulous.
Oh, thank you. And honestly, it would not have happened without your course. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jay, for coming on. And good luck for the future and keep me informed. I want to know where you're at. And I'm sure the listeners have got a huge benefit out of just hearing your amazing story. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, bye-bye, everybody. Make sure you jump on to www.iloverealestate.tv. There's lots of good free stuff online up there that you can start to download and listen to. And make sure also that you subscribe to iTunes, which is also free. Recommend it to your mates. Get on the podcast. Stay connected, because that's the link. That's the link between having the motivation to get out there and change your life and have all the things that you want in your life versus just kind of cruising along and being bumped around by other people's goals and other people's, you know, dreams, wants and aspirations. So make sure you stay connected, and thank you so much, Jay, again for being on the line, and we'll talk to everybody again very, very soon. So bye for now.